One by one. this quarter in our Sunday school lesson is focused on prayer. And I wanted to be in line with the Sunday school lesson, and I want to preach about prayer for the next couple of Sundays, starting with today. One thing that I would encourage you to do, because not only am I going to preach about it, I'm going to teach about it. So it would require you, and I know you always do, to have your Bibles with you. And I know that this is 2015, and we got all kinds of phones and all kinds of electronic gadgets and widgets and whatnot. And these things have Bibles on them. But I think that for our purpose, that I would encourage you to bring a paper Bible, something that you can flip through. Amen? See, our phones might lose power. Our laptops might lose power. Our iPads and iPods might lose power. But the blood, Lord, don't let me go there, but the blood will never lose its power. You see? So we need to have, you know, something that's tangible. Is that a good thing? You know, and I would also encourage you to have some pencil and paper. Amen? And I always say pencil, because pencils always remind me that God is a second chance God. In some of our cases, He's another chance God. Amen? So we ought to be thankful, and we ought to be repentant every day. Sometimes some of us got to be repenting two or three times a day. Huh? But still, just like we learned this morning, we got to repent. Amen? Amen. Amen. And then when we repent, we got to be sure, you know, that we are sorry for what we did. Amen? Or what we said. Amen? And then it is our earnest desire that we not get caught up and do it again. See, and once you realize that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, and the more you sin, you know, the worse you get. Huh? Sin leaves scars. Huh? Sometimes sin leaves scars that you can't see. Huh? But the scars just the same. They are wounds just the same. And sometimes sin will reopen those wounds. Huh? And so when we realize that we're not doing ourselves any good or anybody else any good by sinning, that should give us the wherewithal to want to stop. Huh? Now some folks say, well, you know, I can't help myself. Yes, you can. Huh? You can help yourself. You're just going about it in the wrong way. So I want to begin a three-sermon series for you today on prayer. And I want you to look with me in Matthew chapter 6. We want to look at verses 9 through 13. Matthew chapter 6. Verses 9 through 13. And I'll be reading to you from my King James Version. There's so many versions, so you might even see the scriptures that we're going to read in a lot of different contexts. But here in this 6th chapter, beginning at verse number 9, it says these words: after this manner, therefore, pray ye: our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Thus ends the reading of God's most holy and precious word. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. So I want to launch out with this thought. Lord, teach us to pray would be my subject, my topic. And for a subtopic, praying God's way. Praying God's way. Lord, teach us how to pray and pray God's way. Many times, we often wonder, have anybody ever tried to do something only to realize that your way of doing it was not the best way? For the ladies, maybe you decided to try a different look for your hair, or a different color for your hair, or a different makeup. And you realize that the way you did things in the past was not the way to use the new product that you went out and got. For the guys, for the brothers, how about the time when you put stuff together at the house and you followed the picture on the box instead of the direction that came in the box? I don't know about y'all, but I've done that, fellas. I missed the fix it. I look at the box and I start putting stuff together. But then when you get finished, you still got screws and pieces and parts left over. Huh? And you don't see nowhere where they ought to go. But then when you try to operate whatever it is you done put together and it don't work, then you got to start all over and take apart this thing that you done put together and start from the beginning. See? And if it breaks, I'm going to take it back to the store and tell them I want another one because this one ain't no good. But I've learned. Now I break out the instructions, the directions, huh? And I try to go from there. Amen, amen. So you see, the overall problem with these scenarios is that we try to do it our way, huh? Without finding out the way that the manufacturer of the product intended for it to be. So I think that the same can be said about prayer and how we should do that as well. Huh? So in this case, God is the manufacturer. Huh? And we need to seek guidance and instructions from Him. Huh? As to how He wants us to pray.
Yeah.
Having said that, if there's a right way to pray, then there must be a wrong way to pray as well.
All right.
Huh? So I would submit to you today that praying is never telling God what to do, but always asking of God to bless you in those specific areas of your life.
Yeah.
Huh? So when we think about that, stay with me now. Here in our text, the Lord begins to break down what is known as the 23 elements of prayer. And I've got my Dick's Bible right here that has those 23 elements listed. But it's actually the model prayer. Huh? We look at this from the 9th to the 13th verse is a model prayer. You see, what we refer to, or what we can refer to as the Lord's Prayer, is found in John chapter 17. When the Lord lifted up his eyes towards heaven and he began to pray.
Yes.
Now, concerning this model prayer, and I gave you the scriptures, that's why I say I want you to write these things down so you can check them out later on. We find this model prayer, again, is found in Luke chapter 11, in verses 2 through 4.
Yeah.
Huh? But when the disciples of Jesus came to him one day, and they asked him to teach them how to pray.
Yeah.
Huh? So, and he proceeded to give them a model upon which they, and which we can, of course, use so that we are always praying God's way.
Yes.
Now, what I'd like to do is to break down what Dr. Phineas Dayton has said about these 23 elements of the model prayer and briefly expound on each one. And I will get through it with some help from you all. First of all, When you start up the prayer, when Jesus said pray in this way, huh? He said, when you pray, say, our Father. Huh? Our Father, that means relationship. So in order for us to pray effectively and appropriately, we've got to have a relationship with the Father.
Yes, yes.
Just like you can't make a withdrawal from a bank or a credit union that you're not a member of.
Come on now.
You can't make a spiritual withdrawal from heaven unless you have a relationship with God through his Son, Jesus the Christ, our Lord. Jesus himself said in John chapter 14, verse number 6, when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Is any Bible readers here with us tonight?
Yes.
Today. Secondly, he said, which art in heaven. Now that, my friends, is recognition. Huh? Here we recognize the location of the throne room of God and power, the power that he is. Psalm 11, and the 11th number of Psalm in verse number 4 says, the Lord is in his holy temple. Huh? The Lord's throne is where? In heaven. Huh? So when we recognize his presence in heaven, we should also acknowledge that his power comes from heaven as well. Is anybody with me yet?
Yes.
Thirdly, hallowed be thy name. That is adoration. You see, the word hallowed is derived from a Greek word that means sacred, physically pure, morally blameless, or religious, and ceremonially consecrated, most holy. It means that one thing. It means saint. And here, when we say hallowed, here we adore him and his name to the point that we place him and it above all other names and things. God's name is so hallowed that he commanded us in the book of Exodus in the 20th chapter and verse number 7 that thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain.
Right, right.
You can do a whole lot of things, but don't mess with the name of the Lord.
That's right.
Huh? Don't grieve the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Huh? You're walking down trouble lane. Fourthly, thy kingdom come.
Uh-huh.
That is anticipation. Listen, we don't know how long we'll be here on this earth. And I'm here to tell you and to remind you, Sister Connor and I went to a funeral yesterday in Evanston. The poor lady just died of a heart attack on Friday, just like that. And we don't know when our time is going to be.
Right.
So we need to make sure that we pray up, and in the event that God calls us in the twinkling of an eye, that we don't leave nothing undone. Huh? And we need to let our family know that we are ready. That if God said move, we got to move. And that if you think about John chapter 14, there's a place that Jesus went, and he went to prepare a spot for us. And I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that day. And I know that when I do move, I've got somewhere to go. The fourth thing, thy kingdom come. That is anticipation, as I pointed out. We find that when we look at this, that we acknowledge that one day God's kingdom will come and Christ will be the ruler of that kingdom. Huh? And so we find in Matthew 25 and 34 that it says that then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So we are anticipating the kingdom to come.
Amen.
The fifth thing is that thy will be done.
Yes.
And that is consecration. Mm-hmm. For you see, my friend, this is the part of the prayer where we consecrate or we commit our lives and service to God and accept what he deems appropriate for our lives.
Yes.
Listen, thy will be done.
Yes.
Not my will, but thy will be done.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
So we recognize that we don't know what tomorrow holds. But we commit our lives to the one who holds all our tomorrow.
Yes, yes.
Am I right about it?
Yes.
You see, it's here where we abandon our will and we totally 100% accept God's will for our life.
Yes.
Huh? As hard as that may sound, just like we sang the song, we got to trust in the Lord until we die.
Yes.
Huh? Trust in the Lord with all of our heart. And lean not on our own understanding. Huh? In all our ways, acknowledge him. And what is he going to do? He's going to direct our path. Thank you, somebody. Psalm number 143, verse 10 says, teach me to do thy will. For thou art my God. Huh? Thy spirit is good. Lead me in the land of the uprighteousness.
Yes, Lord.
Huh? You see, now the sixth thing in earth, you know, some folks say on earth. Huh? The scriptures say in earth.
Yes.
So that is universality.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? The idea here is that God's will be done throughout all the earth. And not just in the place where we happen to be located. Huh? So we want God's will not only to be done right here at Antioch, we want God's will to be done everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
All over the earth.
Yes.
So it's easy. And it's very possible for God's will to be done throughout the earth because it belongs to him.
Amen.
Huh? We find in the 24th number of Psalm in that first verse that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof.
Yes.
And the world and they that dwell in it. So it all belongs to God.
Yes.
So we can't walk around and say this mine and that mine.
Come on now.
Huh? You might be living in a house and you say, that's my house, but the truth be known, that ain't your house. God give you that house. You may not want to accept it. No, I worked 20 years for this house. I'm the one that's been painting and cutting the grass. No, God give you that house. And you being a good steward, you did the painting. You being a good steward, you cut the grass. You being a good steward, you paid the mortgage. Somebody help me. The seventh thing is, as it is in heaven.
Yes, Lord.
That, my friend, is conformity. Huh? You see, just as we are to conform to the likeness of God in word, deed, and our behavior, our prayer is that God will for the earth to wants the God's will is for earth to conform to that which is already taking place in heaven. When you say as it is in heaven. So whatever's going on in heaven, God wants us to do it down here.
Yeah.
But we got a problem down here. Huh? We don't always do what God wants us to do. Huh? You see, in heaven, there is a continuous praise and worship.
Yeah.
Sometimes we get tired and we, you know, just don't worship and praise like we are. Huh? In heaven, there is no more sickness and no more disease.
Yeah.
But you all know that we have a lot of sickness and disease going on this earth. Huh? In heaven, there is no more death. Huh?
No more.
And it's always been God's will that his people prosper and not suffer.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes we get a little carried away. God gives us a little bit and we throw it away on something that we don't need. You see, concerning this continuous praise, the Bible teaches us that there are four beasts in heaven whose sole purpose was to praise God. Now somebody might look at me and go, what beast? Huh? That there's a negative connotation here. But look, if you look in Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 8 in the sea clause, it says, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. You can read right there. There's four beasts that are doing just that. Huh? God give us this, give us, it says, give us. And that's what we call a supplication. Huh? So this word comes from the root word supplicate, which by definition, it means to make humble, earnest petition. Huh? So again, we are back in Philippians 4 and 6 to be careful for nothing. Huh? but in everything by prayer and supplication, in other words, our humble and earnest petition, right, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Is that right? So, as we carry on, give us this day, this day. That means definiteness, huh? We are all say all the time that He's an on-time God. Don't we say that all the time? Huh? He's an on-time God. Yes, He is, huh? Sometimes we say it, sometimes we sing it, huh? He's an on-time God, and that's what we must always hold on to. There's nothing wrong with that because He is an on-time God. And because God is omniscient, that means that He's everywhere. He knows everything. Huh? He knows what we need when we need it. Huh? And the reason why we pray and ask Him for what we need is because there needs to be a connection. Huh? God could just go ahead and work out your situation just like this and just like that. But do you know what you need? Huh? Scripture says be careful for what you ask for. Huh? But do you know? God knows, but do you know? Huh? So, and it's got to be, so that means you got to pray. You got to ask God to show you His will. Right? So naturally, you don't take a cake out of the oven before it's done. Right? Huh? And God don't send down a blessing until the appropriate time or when the time is right for us to receive the blessing. Now sometimes, you know, if God blessed you too quick, you know, we'd be done messed it up. Huh? So when God sees that you're ready, then He left the blessing out. The tenth thing, give us this day, then He says, our daily bread.
Yes, Lord.
Huh? Give us this day our daily bread. So that is necessity. Huh? Nobody knows about our needs, but God does. Huh? He even promised in His word to take care of all of our needs. I recognize that sometimes because of our needs that we tend to worry and be anxious about them, huh? You know, when you're running out of bread and running out of milk and you start getting anxious, you know, I got to get to the store, got to go to the store, got to go to the store, huh? But even in prayer, we should be mindful that God already knows what we need and what we need to have, huh? Now, in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31 and 33, it tells us there that therefore take no thought saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all of these things do the Gentiles seek. Huh? For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all of these things. But then what else do it say? We heard it this morning. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all of these things shall be added unto you. Now, I dare you to try that. Seek God first. Huh?
Amen.
Put Him at the top of the pile.
Yes.
And all of these things. Huh? But you got to put Him up there in righteousness.
Yes.
And all of these things will be added unto you.
Yes.
Huh? Amen, amen, amen. See, so Paul even backed that up when he said in Philippians 4:19, when he said, but my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Oh, yes. And then he goes on to say, and forgive us. And that's a penitence where you get the word repent. This is where we express our feelings, my brothers and my sisters, of remorse for the sins that we have committed against God and His word. Now listen, David said, against thee and thee only have I sinned. That's where we need to get our mindset right. We might have said something to somebody, we might have cussed at somebody or took a swing at somebody or held back something from somebody that we could have helped, but we're not sinning against them, we're sinning against God. Huh? We sin against God. So we need to keep that in mind, that, you know, that we are hurting God. We should never think that because that they have a relationship with Christ that they have become sinless. You see, Once you get saved, it don't automatically mean you ain't gonna sin no more.
That's right.
Huh? You see, it's because of that relationship that we should be sinless. But John, 1 John 1:9 says, which was written to believers and those who have relationships with the Father. And it says to us that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's right there. If you don't have your pencil today, I pray that you bring your pencil next week. Amen. 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 And then he says, after he says, and forgive us, he says, our debts. Huh? Now, some translations say, forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Yes. See, now you got to remember, we got four versions of the same gospel, right? Four versions of the same truth, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And each one was a specific writer written for a specific reason to a specific group of people. And that's a whole other Bible study right there. Forgive us our debts. So that is obligation, huh? You see, when I looked and did some research, the preacher's outline in Sermon Bible says here that in relation to sin, it means a failure to pay one's debt, huh? One's dues, a failure to do one's duty, huh? To keep one's responsibility. So in other words, we are asking God to forgive us of our debts. See, those things that we owe him that we've fallen short of giving to him, huh? We had a debt out there so high that nothing we did could satisfy it. So what happened? God sent his son Jesus. See, who according to Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, which said, and even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life as a ransom for many. His life became the price for our debt. Huh? Is anybody hearing me? Without the shedding of blood, there was no remission of sin. Am I right? So then, as we look further, it says, as we forgive, see, and that's forgiveness. Listen, as hard as it may be sometimes, Lord have mercy, we have a duty and a responsibility to forgive others. Huh? Am I right? Just as we want God to forgive, don't you want God to forgive you? When you repent of your sins, don't you want God to forgive you? We already heard that he's faithful and just to forgive us of our unrighteousness. That's what we want from God, right? So shouldn't we want to be the same way and forgive other folks? Huh? Who would say trespass against us? Huh? So we have to be obedient that God is telling us, right? That true forgiveness means that you let it go and you leave it alone. Huh? Never to bring it up again. Just as God does for us. See, but there's a situation there. There's a problem there. Sometimes we can't help it. We always carry a shovel around with us. You know, as soon as things get hot, there we go to digging again. Huh? Huh? Thing been dead for 40 years, but here we go. I tell you. So we got to learn how to let it go. So now listen, and I'm going to preach that one day. Let it go. I tell you, I should have never seen part of that movie, Frozen. Let it go. But I'm glad of this. I'm glad that God does not treat us like we treat one another. You see, because God, when God forgives, he forgets. And he told us in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25, that I am he that blotted out thy transgressions. Alright? So that brothers and sisters, and will not remember their sin anymore, right? But what this is for us is true forgiveness.
Yes.
True forgiveness. See, then after he says, as we forgive, then he says, our debtors, right? That is love and mercy. Huh? You see, we serve a God of a second chance. I already said that earlier, right? And then sometimes we need more than two chances. Huh? And there are people in our lives who need a second chance from us. Huh? We probably got relatives that done made us so mad that that's it, you know, don't come back. Huh? Don't come back. Huh? Don't even call me. Huh? That's it. See, but there's folks that need a second chance. We needed a second chance. We ain't always been saved. Huh? We ain't always been saved. Huh? Some of us ain't saved as much as we ought to be saved. Huh? So, I don't know about you, but with me, see, I was way beyond that second chance with God. But He keep on loving me. Huh? He keep on loving me, and for that, I am grateful. Huh? You know that attitude of gratitude? We got to have it. I'm grateful. You see, and as we forgive our debtors or those who have offended us or hurt us, we restore them back into a relationship with us. Huh? Much like what God does for us. Huh? We got to restore them. Huh? We can't slam the door on them. Huh? And when that happens, you see, God extends love and mercy toward us so that the judgment that we are due is not delivered unto us. And some of us need to be burnt up, huh? But because of God's mercy, He keeps